Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Blake Cordero. Again, just like last week, I really hope that I don't butcher his last name. I know him as Blake, and some people like Fishkin and Waldman are last name people. I don't understand why. I think Scott's a cool name. You know, it's one syllable, it gets straight to the point. But then again, so is Mike, and so is Blake. So Blake's going to be phoning in very soon to talk about his 73,000 endeavors, including working at So What Music Festival, working for the Catalyst Publicity Group. I know this summer, I believe he's going to be guitar teching for Hawthorne Heights. And to me, most importantly, he manages a band called Nominee, who I think you're going to be hearing a lot about pretty soon. And I am not kidding about that. They're really good. Apparently, they're an incredible live band, and they're just a really solid pop punk band. In this sea of pop punk bands, I think that they stand out as my nominee. Fish said that my shirt is a dad joke, so I figured I might as well do that right now. I just spilled coffee on myself. The next few weeks, we have other people behind the scenes. We've got Morgan Carney from Rockatown, and he also manages a band called Woven in Hiatus, another band called Forever at Last, a band called Radnor, and he is the talent buyer at Rockatown, so I'm sure he sees quite a few submissions that are pretty LOL. We've got J.D. Perry and Sean Dorsey, Philadelphia represent. J.D. played in the band Valencia, and I love Valencia. I think that they're a severely underrated band. They've played a few kind of reunion, not full-scale reunion shows recently, and I know that they sold out New York City, which is amazing, but behind the scenes, JD is actually a partner for No Hope Records with Sean Dorsey, and I got to hang out with them in Philadelphia, and it was a really good time, and I promise you that this interview will be fun too. The following week, we've got Chris Bianchi, and he is at Mercenary Management, which our last program was with this guy named Dan Suriff, who was just in the studio. He works for that company with Zach Wild, who actually just announced that he's going on tour as Ozzy Osbourne's guitar player. So that's a huge deal. And Dan manages them, and Dan manages Black Veil Brides. And Chris is actually a manager of that company too. So this month is a mercenary month. And then the following week, we've got Buck Foley at my favorite festival that I've yet to go to, Riot Fest. I don't know. I just, every single year, they outdo themselves with their lineups, and Jawbreaker is headlining the last night, so, you know, 1996 Scott is going apeshit right now. So, anyway, Blake is going to be a really fun interview. I have good time with him when we have beers together, so I'm drinking a coffee, as I said before, and I spilt a little bit on myself, so hopefully it won't be as rowdy as a Texas beer fest. So, every single Tuesday, stick around, 5 p.m., Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time for Waldman's Words. I'm so happy with everything going on with the show, and I love you. Hello, we've got Blake Cordero on the show. I already screwed up his name. I'm 2 for 2 in the past 2 weeks, so thanks for being patient with me, Blake.
No worries, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm in a really good mood. You made me feel really good about myself with a Facebook post yesterday, which, when this airs, will be the week anniversary of your Facebook post, so let's celebrate.
Hell yeah, I got to get drinks with you then.
Well, that's exactly – that's probably the best unintentional segue we've ever had on the show, because how we met was actually in person getting drinks, and I believe Aaron Gillespie was a part of this, but which is kind of crazy, like Aaron Gillespie, a little Jew from Long Island, and Blake. But basically – we were at So What Fest. I was at the venue waiting for Mirrorize, who is now Floods and is now going through some more shit. But they were getting ready to open for Hawthorne Heights, who I think you are going on tour with. But you were a busy, busy guy, and you were dealing with a lot of stuff. And just the fact that you were able to even connect with me for a little bit, and I think we had at least a few drinks together, was really nice. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. It was probably one of my only breaks of the weekend for that, for So What Fall. That was a cool experience. It was the first time the guys had taken over Deep Ellum in Dallas for the whole weekend, taken over 7 venues, and I kind of steer-headed the whole venue operation, making sure all the venues were going smoothly, and it was just super stressful, but it was cool to be able to take a few minutes and hang out, because I wanted to spend most of my time at that venue anyways, and it was cool that you were there.
No, I mean, I know how these festivals get, and sometimes you get emails, texts. I don't know. Did you have a walkie-talkie even? Like, I'm not even sure.
No, it was just all through phones. So all bands playing for the whole weekend got to have my phone number and text and call me whenever they wanted.
Oh, cool. So it's just like, my brake light's on. Can you help me with that?
Hey, I'm parked in the middle of the street. Like, I didn't know it was street parking. Do you think you can find me some parking? I was like, no, I told you. It's like South by Southwest situation. You park and you get to the venue for me, and then we can talk.
You know, as a manager, I was actually re-looking over my contracts yesterday. I don't want to manage anyone who's under the age of 18, just because I don't want to deal with momagers or dadagers. And I that's a horse of another color, dude. I used to work in TV casting. Don't even get me started. But you'd think that these people, like, I'm assuming a lot of the people that you spoke with were legal adults who could die abroad in a war, yet... Anyway, I digress. So,
it's definitely that case. Like, I'm super. That was the one thing I was happy about. I was like, yeah, every person that was like the representation of that band, they all held themselves to a certain standard. It was a relief that I didn't have to deal with any momagers or dadagers. I got to deal with band representation that was professional, and there was really no issues that weekend. It was great.
Well, again, just want to say thank you for. I hope that you feel that your break was well spent with our whiskey gingers. That's all I got to say about that. So, you know, you are a hyphen. You do lots and lots and lots of stuff. I mentioned before you were on that you are a part of So What, which actually we can get to in a bit, that you manage a band called Nominee, who I love. And it's rare to see bands on social media like this band, Sundressed, who I really am into. They constantly hype you guys as consummate live people, and I say you guys, I know you're not in the band, but you know, you're a part of it, and it's good to see in the pop punk scene musicianship, so thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. And it's great to see like those guys getting the love they deserve. It's awesome.
They do deserve it. As a guy who plays a little bit of guitar and plays a little bit of bass, it's good when the cream rises to the top. So I guess going backwards, what got you into doing all these things? I mean, you also work in publicity for Catalyst, who Jen will be on this show now because of your Facebook post. And you do so many things. How did you get involved?
Well,
is that
a
door?
Boston, and
is that a door? I heard a door shut. Sorry.
I think one of my roommates just got home. But I'm from Boston, and when I started out, I started out when I graduated high school early. And I was in the Boston scene, seeing how everything was going. There was a bunch of – it was a cool little community. And seeing all these bands, like, working hard and trying to, like, leave their scene of, like, being in Boston. Like, every city is the same situation. But seeing all these bands and seeing how they're working hard, and I saw their passion, it kind of just got me excited to see these. I had no idea, because I started in, like, getting into that kind of, like, going to shows pretty late. I didn't even go to a Warped Tour until I was working them. And seeing these hardworking bands, and my friends were in bands, and I was lucky enough to get opportunities to like work at venues, be a part of shows, put on shows, and just seeing how hard they worked got me excited and wanted me to pursue like a career in it as well.
When you were going to shows in Boston, I mean, you said that Warped Tour you went to a little late. I know this band isn't really a Warped Tour band, but normally when people talk about Boston, they talk about Dropkick Murphys. Like that seems to be – and the band Boston. Sorry. Of course, the band Boston gets spoken about, but – there is a band that I really connected with growing up called Cave In. Are you familiar with them at all? I think they're from Boston.
I'm not, actually.
Oh, dude. You got to check them out. They're so underrated. Anyway, so I also think of Newbury Comics. Were you getting records there, or like
That you hit the nail on the head. That's where I spent a lot of time getting records and checking out bands that I had no idea about. I was pretty naive when I first got into everything, like the bands that I knew, like in Boston, like a loss for Words, Vanna, and like the local scene, just all these bands like respecting each other and like working together. But I was pretty naive at first and just spent a lot of time at Newbury Comics checking out records, and just the list goes on of I went there weekly,
and it's still in existence. I mean, there's only so many stores that are still around. I mean, what's crazy is, do you know where most people buy records? Well, I mean, records, I don't think they sell vinyl, but do you know the number one record store in the United States?
I don't.
Walmart.
Jesus.
Walmart is the number one in the United States. Tower was a big deal, and I don't think Coconuts was as big of a deal, but people buy more records at Walmart and, get this, Best Buy than anywhere.
I can see Best Buy a little bit, just because, like, I see a lot of bands pushing those outlets online, at least when they're pushing their records. But for me, it was just I would go to shows and just pick them up from the bands personally, because I was obsessed with the color variants and the limited amount that the bands would have on tour, and just supporting them directly. But I understand, like, how those, like, big corporations like Walmart and Best Buy can get the upper hand for sure.
Well, if you're in, you know, Montana, which I've been to about 44 states, which is not one that I've been to, and as you could tell by a guy who's toured the country, like, certain Montana doesn't really get hit by a lot of these tours. It just doesn't make sense geographically and financially. So the people who live in those areas, you know, they go to Walmart and they buy the latest Shinedown record, you know? So go figure. But I mean, on my sheet right now that I'm looking at, there's So What, there's Hit the Lights, there's Hawthorne Heights, there's Catalyst, there's Nominee. There's, like, a lot of stuff. I don't know exactly what order that started in. So how did you work all this stuff out? Because I think I'm busy, but you sound busier.
I'm glad it looks that way. I mean, I'm definitely busy now, and it definitely was a slow progression. But when I first got started touring, it was actually with a band from the Massachusetts area called Phone Calls from Home. I don't know if you've ever heard of those guys. They are not a band anymore, but they were back in, like, 2009, 2010 era.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of them. To be honest with you, I haven't heard their music. So you could send me an email from home with a link to them, and I'll check it out.
No, that's really what got my start, like, actually doing touring at, like, more of a professional level, and just meeting the bands that we would tour with. And Hit the Lights was I was a fan of Hit the Lights, though, one of my favorite bands when I was growing up and still now. But meeting those guys back in that time, just becoming their friends and hanging out at shows, and when I went to Ohio, hanging out with them, and then we got to connect later on, a couple of years down the line, and they were probably the band that let me take things more seriously and be able to be on the road more, for sure.
I believe you were on the road even with a Simple Plan tour, am I correct?
Yep. We did Simple Plan and Good Charlotte, a couple runs with them last year.
Amazing.
And those are crazy, just nostalgia tours, and it was great for the guys to get that opportunity, for sure.
I mean, the band Hit the Lights, I feel like they've toured with everyone, every single band. Like, they get some incredible tours. I've seen them. I saw them open for Paramore just before Paramore was about to blow the hell up. And I saw them actually with Cobra Starship and Forever the Sickest Kids. So you really never know who you're going to see that. And I think they even toured with, like, drugs. Like, not – well, they might have toured with illicit drugs, but, like, with Destroy, Rebuild, Until God Shows. Like,
yeah, that was an interesting tour. That was before my time with them. But it was funny to see, like, when we did the tour with State Champs and Story So Far was on that Good Charlotte run, Hit the Lights was one of the first bands to bring both of those bands out. And it was cool to see, like, a full 360 of, like, bands respect bands. And those bands brought Hit the Lights out because they gave them their start and they wanted to, like, tour with Hit the Lights again. It was great.
Well, as a fellow manager, I haven't heard the word cool in 360 in a while, because I don't think that 360 deals are cool, but I know what you mean. I get it. Yeah, no, Hit the Lights, I think that Hit the Lights even took out All Time Low back in the day.
And they did.
And obviously, you know, All Time Low is a semi-popular band now, so it's just kind of crazy. Like,
and it was definitely cool. We've got to play a few one-off gigs with All Time Low, like, for routing dates, and it was super cool to see those guys and Hit the Lights get to reconnect. And it was just, like, it's cool to see, like, the family aspect of the industry when bands respect the fact that they had their chance from a band like Hit the Lights bringing them out and, like, paying that forward and getting them to come out and shows. And
I was just gonna say, pay it forward, dude. You freaking plagiarized my brain. Thank you. No, Hit the Lights, it's really cool. And I know that you're not their manager, but I think that Hit the Lights is on Pure Noise, and I think Thief Club, which is I think Nick's offshoot, is that on We Are Triumphant? Like, I don't even know. I'm not sure.
It is. Wow. Yeah, him and Greg have a good relationship over there.
Cool. All right. Well, speaking of being hearts being in Ohio, what about – what? Look at this. I'm actually really proud of my transitions today. Sometimes they're super awkward, so I'm going to pat myself on the back here. Hawthorne Heights, another band from the great state of Ohio. I had the pleasure of living in the Midwest for 4 years in Michigan, so I have – quite a lot of love for that region because I feel that people are just nicer than they are in, I'm allowed to say this as a New Yorker, New York, and I'm allowed to say this as a guy who grew up near Boston and LA. So the Midwest, I have a firm place in my heart for. How did that come about, Hawthorne Heights? They've been around, I think, even longer than Hit the Lights. So
it was definitely, I can thank Hit the Lights again for that. Like when we were touring heavily, doing back-to-back tours, it was crazy that like every tour that we were doing, somehow we were in the same city or doing the same festival one-off as Hawthorne Heights, and just got to connect with those guys and hang out, and we just became good friends, especially Mark from Hawthorne Heights. Him and I got to connect a lot, and a couple months ago he hit me up and asked if I had any Warped Tour plans, and I hadn't at the time. He was like, we've seen what you can do, we've seen you a bunch of times at the Lights, and we'd love to have you come out. And I was like, down, let's do this.
That's amazing. And their main stage, and I think Mark was in another band in Ohio before, or he might even still play in that band, correct? I've spoken with him a few times. He's a nice guy. So
yeah, he has another band called The Story Changes that he's still in with the drummer of Hawthorne as well.
Yeah, so currently Hawthorne is a four-piece, right? And the bassist Matt is still in it, and obviously you know, JT is still involved as well. So it's like two old school and two newer guys, even though like Mark isn't that new anymore. I mean, I guess to the older days, like he's new, you know?
Oh, no, for sure.
And that show is, it's crazy. It's all complete full circle because that's where I met you, was at a Hawthorne Heights show way before they went on. So I'm telling you, this industry is big and small.
That's how it feels every day for me. Like I wouldn't be living in Austin right now if every job that I've had in my career so far has been given to me by another job that I've had. And just, I've just kept a full circle of like, oh, we've seen you do this. How about this? And I'm just like, yeah, let's do this. Let's go.
You haven't fucked anything up yet. So good for you. Thank you for that. That's
good. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, actually this table is kind of wood, so I'm knocking on it for you. And you know, I'm actually going to just ask you a music question on Hawthorne Heights because I've had this discussion with several people. What is your favorite album of theirs?
I actually am a big fan of one of their latest, the latest EP, Hurt.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I love the nostalgia factor of Ohio's for Lovers and all of their big single hits, but I can really respect when a band like that and Hit the Lights has done the same thing. When they just go into a studio, they're like, we've done what we want for our fans. Let's do it for us this time and write a record that we really are proud of. And not to say they weren't proud of the other records, but they definitely put their all into Hurt as like from what they were listening to and what they were vibing. And I was like, I can always respect that. And I love that record.
Well, it's funny. It's because like last week I was talking with Dan Suriff, who manages Black Veil Brides. And I think that The Offspring's best record is an underrated one, like Conspiracy of One. But I've never heard anyone say that Hurt was their favorite Hawthorne Heights release. I really, really like, you know, If Only You Were Lonely is my favorite, but I'd say Skeletons is another underrated album.
Oh, and definitely.
That's a close second for me. I think that Silence in Black and White, I don't know. Like, I think that half of it is really strong and the other half, you know, they were still finding themselves, but I feel like they really came into their own right after that. So that's my opinion. You know how much opinions are worth, right? So there you go.
No, I definitely agree with that, though. I love when a band can like just go into a studio and write a record for themselves. And when you've done it for so long, like that's one of the things that keeps you going.
And JT actually does all of his own original material on solo acoustic tours, and he does that through In Vogue. Who's Hawthorne Heights? What are they signed or are they self-released? Like, how does that work?
I believe they are self-released right now, and they are potentially looking for a new label right now, but I believe it's all self-released.
They've had several homes, haven't they? I heard that there was a small amount of drama with Victory Records. Hashtag kidding. A lot of drama with that. So,
yeah, I know they've been talking about some new material that they're trying to shop, and I'm not sure what it's going to bring for Warped Tour, but I'm excited to see what they're playing.
Well, I just have a question, and I'd say this might be the last one until our break, and then we'll get into, you know, your work with Catalyst and Nominee. But how many years have you been involved with the So What team? Like, were you involved with Third String? Like, how did that happen? And shout out to Mike Zemer. I just saw him last night, and we touched our arms together, so it was nice.
Love that guy. It's actually a pretty recent thing for me. It was another one of those situations where I moved to Austin, Texas, thanks to Steve, who plays guitar in Nominee. I was living out in Salt Lake, and he got me to move down. And Orlando, who works for Third String and So What with Mike, offered me to be the Austin rep with Steve for Third String for shows. And he knew me through Hit the Lights, and they needed someone to help them with production for So What Fall that we met at. That was actually my first So What working.
Wow. Like at that thing, I thought that you were like veteran guy.
That was my first one.
Well, I mean, that's quite an introduction to the shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was intense for me, and I just had one band playing it. So I can only imagine, like, what it was like for you. So, wow, good for you. I had the rolled up ice cream.
It was definitely getting thrown in the deep end, but it was a great experience.
Did you have that rolled up ice cream? Like, did you see it had opened that day? Like, there was this place that had ice cream that they, like, prepared on some flat. Did you know what I'm talking about, or am I sounding like a crazy person?
Oh yeah, no, it's down the street from Three Links, actually, and I would be lying if I didn't say that I had that every day that weekend.
Oh well, good for you. You know, we're all fat kids at heart, so that's very important. I feel that if I lived in Dallas, I would weigh at least 100 pounds more than I do right now, because the food is so damn good and not healthy.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling that way in Austin right now. Like, food surround, like all this great food surrounding me. I've definitely hit the Texas 30.
Well, in Texas, is that like the version of the freshman 15, like the Texas 30?
Yeah.
In Austin, Texas, I just have a question. Are they breastfed barbecue sauce? Because, like, I don't know. Like, that sauce, that Stubbs sauce, is so money, dude.
I was just at Stubbs the other day when selling merch for the Pixies, and believe me, that was. Stubbs is one of my top ones to go to every time I do a show.
Whoa, sorry. The Pixies, that sounds so much cooler to me than the barbecue sauce. You were selling merch for the Pixies?
Yeah, that was another opportunity I've gotten from just...
You said that so nonchalantly, man. I'm sorry. It's like, yeah, you know, the other day I was just hanging out with Steve Jobs, even though he's dead. Like, well, maybe that was too soon. But, like, you just said it so, like, boom. And I'm like, and sorry, like, it was harder for me to really focus on your barbecue sauce response than you saying the Pixies. So, you know, what's crazy is I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I manage a bunch of producers, and Ross Roby is my co-manager, and we manage Kim Shattuck, who is the singer for the Muffs, and she plays in the Pandoras. She actually played bass for the Pixies for a little bit.
Oh, right on. I see that you might get a little angry, but I only knew one song that night. And I was just
Valoria, where is my mind?
Yeah.
I'm not angry, at least visibly on the air. How do you like that? No, I'm not angry. I mean, it's just kind of the thing where, like, you know, there's so many bands and there's so many artists out there. And I think it's kind of futile to be irritated when someone hasn't heard a band. You can jab at them, but can't be angry with them. I don't know. That's just me.
It definitely was not that way with the people at the show. They're like, "Are you kidding me?" I was like, "Sorry, I came in a little late. I guess I missed the train."
Well, I guess that, like, they're probably like, "What the fuck, man? Like, my buddy Bill loves them. He should be selling their merch," which is completely irrelevant. Anyway, let's take a short commercial break. So stick around for Blake Cordero, where we will be focusing on some PR stuff that I think that you all can learn a lot from. And we're going to talk about Nominee, because I can't get enough of that band. I don't know if you've been listening to the show for the past few weeks, but I've been name-checking Nominee quite a bit, kind of like how you did the Pixies. So, mazel tov.
Hell yeah.
So, let's take a short break, and we'll be back. We are black. Oh, my God. We are black. Wow, tongue twister. Let's start this again. Unless we should keep this. You know, fuck it. We are black with Blake Cordero on Waldman's Words. So Waldman's Words is definitely the most African-American friendly show on Adobe. So I just want to say that. You're laughing at me.
Respect.
You know what? Sometimes you edit things out. I'm going to keep that. So hopefully I won't be in too much trouble, but that was a tongue twister. Anyway, so Catalyst, Jen Appel. Let's hear about this, because she busts her butt.
Yeah, she does. She is one of the few people I can count on my hands that definitely took a chance on me, and I couldn't be happier. Like, she had no idea who I was before Another Hit the Lights. Hit the Lights was doing the Chroma Tour with Cartel, and Mike Wilson, her boyfriend, was TMing and doing all the work for Cartel, and I met her at the New York show, and we kicked a couple drinks and talked, and we just bonded really well. And she was like, "Well, if you want a job at Catalyst, I'd love to work with you." And I was like, "Yes."
Was that the tour with Team on it? That Cartel tour, or was it?
Yep, with Team and Driver Friendly.
Wow, I was at that show in LA at the Roxy, and Team blew me away. And Cartel, I had played Warped Tour with them in 2006 when Chroma was like getting bigger. And holy shit, they sounded good. Like, I mean,
incredible
how good they sounded. Like, it was so huge. And I feel that, you know, obviously sometimes singers, they devolve. That dude's evolved as a vocalist. He didn't hit one bad note. It was
the voice of an angel.
Yeah. I mean, I think he started as a choir boy too, so that makes sense, but he sounded so good. The band sounded so good. And the show was sold out, and I've seen a lot of the 10-year anniversary tours, you know, because that's all the rage. But that was one of the better ones, and I own that. So that's awesome.
They completely killed it. They did everything they needed to make that tour go off without a hitch. And seeing them in their hometown of Atlanta playing Heaven at the Masquerade RIP was insane to see their fan base there just go off.
That's the venue. I've never been there. I've heard about it. Is that the one where there were two rooms, like kind of like a ghost room and a main room, or am I completely wrong?
Yeah, they have Purgatory, which is like the smaller room that a lot of smaller bands play. Then they have Hell, which is the middle room. And then they have Heaven, which is a little bit over 1,000 cap, I believe.
And in keeping with the voice of an angel and the choir boy, you know, it's a religious experience seeing Cartel. So that was awesome. I dragged my wife out to some shows, and she's actually asked me to bring her to less things, but that was one she was really stoked to go to. So anyway, Catalyst, what do you, now that Jen, you know, asked you to go on board, what do you do specifically for Catalyst?
It started out as, since I have more of a marketing background, we started out, we wanted to expand Catalyst a little bit and get more brands involved, clothing brands, et cetera. And it started out with me coming on as like a brand manager, like helping out these brands with their ideas, their strategy, marketing, showing, like with this new social media, like where social media rules all, like giving them the upper hand with what I had learned, and working with like Davey from Vanna with his nonprofit of Shovel Brand, mm-hmm. and getting to work with brands like that. And then she realized that I had a more of an in with emerging bands, and they trusted me from me coming up from basically doing from nothing to working my way this far. They were excited for someone who was kind of on their level to talk to them.
You spoke their language. I mean, you've been in the dirt, you know, you speak their language more so than a quote unquote suit would. So you should see what Fish and I wear to Adobe. Like, we get decked out. We are like right now, dude, I am wearing my favorite pair of shorts, and sometimes I come in PJs. And I was speaking with a producer the other day who was getting emails like Mr. blah blah blah, and it was such a corporate email that like in the music industry that's like kind of frowned upon. It's so weird. So
I work from home for Catalyst, and if I don't need to put pants on, it's a great day.
I mean, that's my motto for life. So good for you. And I mean, Catalyst has worked with so many different bands. I believe that when Boys Like Girls did their 10-year tour, I believe that Catalyst was affiliated with that too. So.
Yeah, and same with the Cartel one as well.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what we spoke about. But yes, yeah, of course, yeah. No, I mean, to me, I'm a bigger fan of Cartel than Boys Like Girls, but Boys Like Girls sold more records. But then again, you know, Martin's doing production. I don't know. What's the point in going on with that tangent? So Catalyst is awesome.
Catalyst, yeah, I love great. Jen. She, like. To talk about, like, she just busts her ass and literally works the hardest working person I've seen work for the artists that come through Catalyst. She is more than willing to talk to any band and help them wherever she can. It's amazing.
And she actually responds, you know, so like I can tell you that the big pet peeve of mine is when people don't respond to an inquiry or whatever, and then they hit you up asking you to do something beyond expeditiously. It's like it's a two-way street, you know, so.
Oh, every day. I send, like, for publicity, it's like I send hundreds of emails to outlets, and the non-responsive ones, it's just like, I would way rather get a no, I don't want to work with this band, than just ghost me.
Yeah, well, I mean, the ghost, like, honestly, I get it with when, because technically with solicitations, I totally get
True.
It when people's inboxes get flooded and blah, 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 and sometimes they feel that, you know, you're just attaching copy paste. Like right now, I actually made it a point. Like I would rather not copy and paste anything just so they don't think that. Obviously, I have to attach a few standard things. And I get it if they don't respond. But it's more of a bit pet peeve of mine when you already have a business relationship with someone and like it's already in, like terms have been set. And then like that's when they ghost you. And it's like, what the hell? Like, what's the point? Why are we doing this? So
yeah, it's like I just saw you last week.
You just posted a tweet. You literally just posted a tweet from the same mobile device that I hit you up on. What
Every
the
day.
Heck? What the heck? Like, I would rather you just say it's not you, it's me. I would rather that. And then I can go on with the rest of my life.
I can definitely reference, like, a relationship. Like a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship with almost every aspect of the industry, and it's great.
You mean like the game playing?
Yeah, well, it's like you want to schmooze someone, you want to take them out, or you like your friend, you talk and you hang out, and then like you try to hit them up for like to work with someone that you're like a band you're working with, and then they don't hit you up, but then like they want to go get drinks next week, and it's just like this back and forth of like, what are we doing here?
Yep, I mean, I honestly try to start every connection with a personal one, like, because, like, I'm sure that you get a lot of blind solicitations. Like, for example, like, we're going to get to the advice section after we talk about nominee, but here's a free advice from Scott Waldman, and Blake Cordero might agree. Actually, I would be willing to bet 10 out of 10 that you would, but the first thing you say to someone on Facebook or Twitter or email should not be just like a copy and paste link to check out your band with nothing else. I think that that's a bad look.
No, definitely agree. I try to make every email should, especially the intro email, should be as personable as you can make it.
Exactly. Like show them that you know that they're a person, and that, I mean, that goes into the personable thing. Anyway, so let's talk about, I guess, the bread and butter of my passion for you, nominee. I've heard a lot about the band. I listened to a link you sent me forever ago, and I really enjoyed it. And then when I found out that the band Sundress was going on tour with Nominee, I got that much more excited because I think Sundress is severely underrated. So let's talk about them. How'd you start working with them, and what's in the pipeline?
It's crazy. Like we're talking about like the small circle of like the industry. Steve, the guitarist of Nominee. Him and I have been crossing the same circles for years now. Even like in the beginning of the talk, I brought phone calls from home. One of the tours that Steve and I didn't even know we were on the same tour. It was phone calls from home, and I'm blanking. It was just Frender.
It's okay. We're allowed to be human beings and not have all the answers. Keep going. You're doing great.
Yeah, Just Surrender, and we were on the same tour, didn't realize it then, and then we got to reconnect when Hit the Lights came through Austin, and he was the promoter rep for that show, and we're emailing back and forth, and we see face-to-face. I'm like, oh, I know who you are. His band played, and I was sold on their band. I didn't even know who they were at that time. I was like, band opening up for Hit the Lights, great. Can't wait to see what Austin has to show. And then a couple months later, I'm on doing some Warped Tour dates with Vanna and Seamus, who drums in Vanna, had been friends with Steve for a long time, gave Steve the recommendation to hit me up for PR. And Steve and I got on the phone, got to talking, and I was unhappy where I was at the time. And he was like, you
unhappy
know what?
Career-wise or unhappy like sad emo boy?
Sad emo. I'm always sad. I'm always sad emo boy.
Okay. Just so we get that out, I have several therapists that do phone sessions in the LA area if you need anyone.
Perfect. I think I'll just call you at like 2 in the morning instead.
I'm totally like the bands I work with definitely don't do that. Never. Continue.
Never. And he was like, you know what, man? We have a lot of mutual friends. We've definitely met. Like, we've hung out, and I want to work with you. Move to Austin. Give it a couple weeks. I know you're about to go on tour with the Lights again. Come out for a couple weeks. See if you like it here. See if you vibe well with the bands. And I haven't left Austin since. And now Nominee are some of my best friends and one of the most underrated, hardworking bands I've had the pleasure of working with.
I mean, that's some real hands-on managing, like moving to a place. You know, that's a big deal. Like, I've gotten, you know, people asking me to work with them, and it hasn't gone that far where I've moved to Ontario. So good for you.
I'll give you one better. I live with all the dudes.
What?
Yep.
Oh, my God. There are so many good and bad things I could think of right now for that situation. Oh,
trust me.
How many boys did they all live together? Every single
all
one of
them? All of them except for Chris the singer lives with his girlfriend, but they come over, they have practice twice a week, and that's where we get to really talk about Nominee and get things going. Other than that, thankfully, we all just get to hang out and be friends.
I mean, that's awesome. I just would need what do you do like when you have too much Nominee on your noggin? Like, what do? Do you go for a run? Like, how the hell do you escape this?
Thankfully, Steve and I are very on the same level as far as like what how we're thinking, and literally him and I probably talk about Nominee more than anything else. And it's great that like that doesn't ever get old. Him and I can just go back and forth and talk about what's going on, what's moving, what's not, and it's just great. Like, we can relax and hang out, get some drinks, but usually it's just like, okay, what are we doing? What's going on? Like, let's keep this going. Like, there's momentum. Let's keep it going, and him and I can just keep hashing things out.
I mean, you are one awesome, patient motherfucker. So thank you for letting me know that. I am like the singer of Nominee, and I live with my SIGO, and that's my little escape. And we actually have rules. I can't believe I just said SIGO. Like, I'm sorry for that. But we have a few rules where sometimes we just have to put our mobile devices away just so we could actually connect with each other. And I encourage you to disconnect as much as you can humanly possible just for your own sanity.
No, I definitely have it's been almost 8 months since I've moved here, and the Austin community is like the Austin scene here, all the bands that I've got to meet, and like I've just become friends with all of them. So like if I ever just need to get out of the house and not talk about Nominee or not think about it, I can hit up any of my friends now that I like and just go and get drinks and just really just talk about whatever. It's awesome.
Do you live close to like the action on 6th Street? Like, how far are you from that area?
Luckily, and I could not be happier about it. We live more south, probably like 15 minutes from downtown.
Okay.
And it's the perfect escape from all of the nonsense of downtown.
Yeah, that'd be kind of like living on Hollywood and Highland here. Like, that'd be a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, I don't think I could handle it if I was like living right next to 6th Street. I think I'd be dead.
Well, I mean, I don't know when you'd be able to sleep because it's loud.
Yeah, no, I'm very thankful that the guys live farther away.
But Austin's like a huge sprawling city, right? So like there's different pockets with different, I guess, quote unquote vibes.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, I guess the number one piece of advice I take from that is try to live far away from 6th Street. But what other advice would you have for someone like, because like as we've stated, you are Captain Hyphen. What advice would you give to someone who's, because you didn't set out to be a manager, like they kind of reeled you into that. What advice would you give to someone who's just trying to work in any facet of this crazy fucking industry?
I mean, what I'll tell people is just like, if you want to do this and you want to make it work, then you got to take it. You got to go the extra mile, and like you either got to go work at a venue in your hometown, go to local shows, support the local bands, and show them that you're there to support. Offer to do their merch for them for some shows. Be friendly, be humble, just really know that like you're nothing right now, and you need to build up and gain the respect of people before they take the time to talk to you. You got to show that you're actually putting in the work.
And I guess that advice, and yeah, that's perfect. That advice goes for people who try to be in bands too. Before you book your first show, don't expect to open for Taylor Swift at Staples. Just don't expect that. Like earn your spot and prove your worth. And by doing merch for Band X, you're showing them that you're committed to their stuff. I mean, selling merch, as you know, as you did for the greatest band in the world, the Pixies. Just kidding. They're not the greatest, but they're cool. You know, it's not exactly the most glamorous job, but you get to learn a lot by literally having your hands on that stuff.
Yeah, I would have never have guessed, like, starting out selling merch and, like, tour managing bands that, like, I would get the opportunities from Jen to work for Catalyst and really find my groove in the industry, because I love what I do with PR and love that I get to work with all these, like, emerging bands, and love the fact that I live in Austin now, where, like, I'm the Austin promoter here in Austin, where, like, I work with
for Third Mike String, right?
For Third String.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that I get to work with Mike in Orlando and give these Austin bands a chance to play with, like, these touring acts. It's just full circle that I, like, I'm just so excited.
It's giving back, dude. It's going back to where you plagiarized my brain with Paying It Forward. So good for that. So I guess we're pretty much almost wrapped up with this. I really appreciate your time. Just before I ask you one more question, I will just tell the people listening the next few guests. We've got Morgan Carney from the venue Rockettown, and he manages a band called Woven in Hiatus, a band called Forever at Last, and a band called Radnor. He's going to be on next week. We've got J.D. Perry from the band Valencia, along with Sean Dorsey. They have a label called No Hope Records in Philadelphia. They will be on the following week. We've got Chris Bianchi over at Mercenary Management, and he just started his own label called Legend, so I'm excited to talk to him about that. And then the following week, we've got Buck Foley, who manages a band called Sleep On It, another pop-punk band making waves, and he also works for Riot Fest, which I said before is probably the largest festival that I want to attend. So hopefully one day one of our bands will be playing there along with Nominee, and we could have some Chicago deep dish pizza. But question for you, what bands that you do not work with have been really making waves in your brain lately?
You said one of them already is Sleep On It. Those guys have been killing it. And Sundress is another one that we've already brought up. Like, those two bands are so underrated. Sleep On It's a little bit newer, but they're killing it, and I expect big things from them.
Equal Vision.
Johnny Minardi, great people, great label. Couldn't ask for better guys over there.
Johnny was on this show. It's crazy. Continue.
Trying to think of bands that I don't work with that I'm, like, really stoked on.
How about this? What would, if you had a desert island record, what would it be? And it could be anything.
I think that it would most likely be, it would actually have to be either Cartel Chroma or anything from the Starting Line.
Okay. Did you like the 3-song EP that they put out recently?
I did.
Okay. I thought it was okay. I think that Direction is highly underrated. Is it Island or Islands? I think it's Island, right?
Yeah.
That should have been a hit. Like, that should have been a hit song, like a Sugar Going Down type hit, and it wasn't, and that pisses me off. So let's end, I guess, on a positive note, because I don't want to end with that. Blake, you're the man. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day for this show. I know that Fish appreciated it because his eyes lit up when he heard your name.
Aw, Fish.
Yeah, it's true. Life is a journey. Life is a treasure. If anyone wants to get a hold of you or check out what you're doing, what are your socials?
You can hit me on Instagram at Blake Cordero, which good luck finding that. And my Twitter is at Hollow Sheets with a Z at the end.
Okay. Sounds like a rapper. Like, where does that come from?
No, just like my pipeline dream of being a trap artist and that being my name, you know? If everything else goes south, you know, to start up a trap group, which is totally a joke, but I am going with it still.
Okay, I'm going to be in Jew Live Crew. It's all good. Keep going.
Hell. And then, those are the only two that I really use besides Facebook, which is just my name as well, Blake Cordero. And then
you'll be on Warped this summer with Hawthorne Heights.
I'll be on Warped this summer with Hawthorne Heights. So if you're coming out to a date, let's hang out and get nostalgic.
Oh, my God. I mean, how can you not get nostalgic watching Hawthorne Heights? Like, that's physically impossible.
Exactly. And I'm stoked. I couldn't be happier to be working with such, like, a professional adult band where, like, we can just go back on the bandwagon at the end of the night and just hang out instead of, like, some bands were just a party all the time.
No, I mean, I know that JT has, I think he has a daughter or two. I don't think that they're going to be, you know, doing blow on the bus with strippers next to him. So that's awesome. You're going to be able to possibly sleep.
Sleep is good. And then I get to keep working on all the things nominee and PR stuff. I have a few campaigns that I'll be going through Warped Tour. So I definitely am very stoked on the fact that I'll be able to work at night.
I mean, that's awesome because the fact that you're a guitar tech means that obviously, like, during the time when they're setting up on stage and they're playing, you are like a doctor, like you're a doctor on call, but you have some downtime at least where you can do other projects. And it's awesome that with stuff like Catalyst, you have the ability, you could work on your phone in going back to Montana. Let's talk about Montana again. You could work on your phone in Montana and get stuff done. So that's amazing.
Can't wait. I know for sure that every day I will be definitely talking to the nominee boys and all the other great people that I work with, especially Jen. I'm sure she'll get annoyed by me by the end of the summer.
That's awesome. That's always the goal, is to annoy Jen. So anyway, you have yourself a freaking awesome day. And again, you're a hardworking guy. You deserve any amount of success that you have. And hopefully we'll work together on some project.
No, definitely, man. I'd love to work together soon. And thank you again for having me on the show.
No problem. Have a great day, everyone listening. Bye.
Later.